So, Mr. Chair, this is the board. This is tab E in your packet. I'll just turn it around so that people in the public can see it as well. So this is the Grimmel operation is here. These are their material storage piles, their scrap piles. You can see there's a salt pile next door to it. That's underneath a black tarp with a little bit of white on the ground there sticking out. You'll also see that, you know, here's the road that we've been talking about, and then the condos are across the street. What this does is illustrate very much talking about all along, which is that these piles are both almost directly on top of the water, and they're right in the midst of this public roadway and this residential neighborhood. In cooperation with the PDA, as I said earlier, Grimmel paid for a berm that was built all the way around the scrap pile so that all the stormwater from the piles went to a treatment unit called a downstream defender. The rest of the port's stormwater went to two other treatment units. The fact is that the stormwater monitoring results for Grimmel's discharge were consistently better than the rest of the port. That's pretty surprising if you think that the scrap is the problem, because all the runoff from the scrap piles, where the scrap was obviously most concentrated, went to our treatment unit. So we think there's another explanation. We think the contamination comes from other sources, including contaminated soils that were used to build the port many years ago. In the end, Grimmel did settle that enforcement action with the EPA. It agreed to pay a fine, and it funded an environmental project that was run by the Nature Conservancy. There was no admission of liability. It was really just a way to put It was an important way to put that issue behind Grimmel. We never agreed with the EPA on what was causing the problem. And frankly, I think nobody knows yet. I think the PDA is going to continue to struggle with stormwater as the months go by. But as you can imagine, it's very difficult to fight the federal government. It's guaranteed to take years. And the legal costs would dwarf the fines that are needed to settle. And so that's what we did. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Jason Littlefield or ask him to come up and join me and talk to you a little bit about the technical aspects of how the stormwater system operates at Sprague. This is critical because we are relying on Sprague's stormwater system to function well here at Mack Point so that we do not have the kinds of concerns that we had in Portsmouth.
Do we have one extra of those?
I think we have plenty of extras.
Is this in your letter?
No.
In this packet? In your packet?
It is, however.
Looks like one of your tabs.
Right. It's tab A, or I'm sorry, that's wrong. It's tab C, as in cat, with some labels attached to it that Jason added to make a little bit more clear what's happening where.
Please continue.
Okay. Good evening.
And if we can breathe, though.
That's possible.
Unless you want to
clarify a couple of things again, you know, some comments that were made earlier. Actually, some of the requests are things that we actually do and are required to do, so we just wanted to explain the process. So, you know, fundamental differences, for one, Clean Water Act in Hampshire is monitored by the EPA. In Maine, it's done by the Maine Department of Environmental Protection. The state has the regulatory compliance responsibilities. And then... probably another aspect is just that we're, you know, we're an oil company. We're probably arguably one of the highest regulated businesses that there is. We don't relinquish environmental responsibilities in these type of contracts. We're leasing a pad to a customer. We do that to multiple customers. We do this at multiple locations. We're already permitted for stormwater, and we have a stormwater MEPDES license as well as a waste discharge license. This outfall falls in the MEPDES permit, and just so the process is that the red outlined area is where the pad is. That pad was originally designed for coal. The pad is sloped to the east, to the right there, and I have the little markers, and there's a defined drainage swale, riprap swale that comes to that second marker where the railroad tracks are. There's a drainage basin, so the stormwater would flow to the east, go into that riprap, down, go underground into the drainage basin. It's piped under tracks and goes into that retention pond, which is originally designed as a settling pond for any sediments. That pond then has a gooseneck so that it doesn't drain from the bottom or drain from the top, so it, you know, would prevent oil floating on top of the water, flowing out sediments from being sucked off the bottom. It goes to the east there. There's a smaller retention area. There's actually a valve there that can be opened or closed. And then after that retention pond, it goes out to the water's edge. Now at the water's, this will be rolled into our MEPDES waste discharge license. In that, there'll be, the state will give us a set of parameters to test for based on it being a steel pile. That testing is done by an independent lab. It's done quarterly, and then when it's tested is based on environmental conditions. We have to test it after a storm event, which is at least 1 inch of precipitation or melt in the wintertime, and within a half hour of the start of the storm and no longer than an hour into the storm, so it gets an accurate reading of whatever is traveling. That's tested by an independent facility. Those, whatever those parameters are tested. That's reported to the state on our website. The lab sends the results also to the main DEP, and we have a specific inspector for that that's responsible for that facility. She gets the those test results and reviews them as well. And then annually, at least annually, we're physically inspected, which includes not just this outfall, but all of the outfalls within our facility. I don't know if that helps or if anyone has any questions.